Welcome to Season 2 of On the Inside, a deep dive into the variety of introvert experience. I'm LaToya.
And I'm Stacey. This season, we are exploring introversion across cultures.
We're excited to have you join our conversation. We'd like to welcome our guest, Shamir, today. Shamir is an organized professional with 14 years of experience in education administration. She's committed to developing and delivering high-quality experiences that foster academic achievement, emotional intelligence, and innovation. Shamir founded Things Nice LLC in 2014 to serve as a creative brand dedicated to highlighting culture across the Black diaspora with a special focus on Caribbean lifestyle. Curating digital content, organizing events, filling custom orders, and interviewing guests for her podcasts are only a smidge of the responsibilities that she proudly tackles for her brand. As an experienced entrepreneur, Shamir is honored to now be sought out as a consultant for other brands that wish to mature to their fullest potential. Welcome, Shamir.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. All right, so I will open with our first question. If you could sum up your experience as an introvert up to this point in your life in 5 words or less, how would you describe it?
All right, so my first word is frustrating. And I chose that word because not everyone gets it right. And a lot of people think that you are antisocial and or they take your or my quietness or introvertedness, they take it personally. My second word is confusing. I think I've spent like years of questioning whether something was really wrong with me. My third word is educational. Getting to the place where I am kind of took a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of tears, a lot of arguments. And my fourth word is unapologetic. I think gaining confidence in my self-awareness and just like who I am is like a major thing. And then my last word is comforting, because it's when those who are most important to me understand who I am, it's like a very like satisfying feeling. And then it's also comforting to meet like-minded souls. So those are my 5 words.
I am so amazed at how you just charted this whole journey with 5 words. I was like, oh my gosh, that was like this beautiful arc. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's been long. It's 38, about to be 39. And it's just like, it's been that from the beginning. It's always been a challenge.
To connect the frustration and the confusion, and then to also, you know, chart that development of becoming unapologetic and the comfort that comes with not only accepting yourself, but connecting with others mm-hmm. who enjoy you just as you are. I just got really excited about that whole description because, one, it's just beautiful. And two, I feel like it's sort of the more we get to interview guests, the more that seems to be the arc.
Yeah.
You know, like actually getting the sense of, is something wrong with me? And the frustration and the kind of friction that seems to happen between people and also within people. Mm-hmm. And then this kind of like self-embrace and finding connections that feel really authentic and the beauty and depth of that seems to be like something a lot of people reflect on. And I just feel like you laid it out amazingly in those 5 words.
Thank really you.
That background in education is
is that what it is?
Helping to sum it up. What would you say it was like growing up introverted in your family, and how did you see your experience differing from more extroverted members of your family or from cultures out of introverted friends and acquaintances?
So my family is huge. We're from, and it's good to have this question after coming back from visiting home. So my family's from Turks and Caicos, and we're large. you know, my grandmother, my grandparents had 10 kids. No, I'm sorry, 8. And then he had 3 outside kids, and they all had, like, my mother's the only one who had 1. But most of my aunts and uncles had like 8 or 6 or, you know, like a lot. And so I have a lot of cousins. And so I just feel like out of everybody, I'm probably one of the more quieter people. And it's always been that way. So it's, I've always felt pressured to engage. It was very frustrating to hear all the time, open your mouth, or you don't talk, or you too quiet, or you too this. I'm just like, I don't have anything to say in this moment. You know, I feel like I'm a person who I enjoy observing a lot of things. I enjoy engaging when I feel comfortable. So it's like, I may not feel comfortable in this discussion, or this may not be something that I want to engage in right now. But if there is something that pops up, then I'll participate. And I don't believe in talking just to talk, right? So if it's not meaningful, if it's not something that I'm invested in, then I'm not going to be interested in having that conversation. And that has been from childhood. And then also the Turks and Caicos culture, it's one that, like, they like to just talk about the same thing over and over. And I'm just like, we just talked about this yesterday. Like, and it's just, I don't know why that is. And I'm just like, why? But pick something else, you know? And so it's just very, it's very annoying. And it's just, it's been a struggle since I was little. And some people get it. Some people don't. Some people know who I am. Some people are still learning, or some people have like this false interpretation of who I am. And ironically, that has been like, my mother is kind of one of those people at times too, because I'm just like, how do you not know this by now? You know, or one of those people who kind of take my quietness personally. And I'm trying to, like, 2021 was like a real eye opener for the both of us, because I'm trying to get her to understand how I operate and who I am. You know what I mean? Because she just has a lot of things that she has to deal with. And we are not aligned in a lot of places. So we're getting to a point where I'm like, okay, this is how I operate, and this is why. And it's not for you to, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or me, but we're just two totally different people, you know? So.
I can imagine, like, that mismatch of, well, one being an only child in a family of, like, everyone else is, like, not an only child. And having to, like, navigate, like, everybody else is still used to, like, being around a ton of people all the time, and just having to navigate that. And like, of course you're going to feel like something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say, like, it's your fault because you didn't have another kid. So, you know, like, that, that's something else. But it's just like, I'm used to, like, I love being by myself, and I'm used to that. And if I'm around too many people, like, after a party, like, I have to go and be in my space for a minute so that I can recharge. But it's like, I'm okay. Like, if she comes to visit, I'm like, all right, we're here, we're having the time, but I'm going to go in the room and go watch this thing or go do this, you know? But I think it's just different. Like, she's used to, because of how she grew up and how many people were around her, she's used to that loud energy, and she's used to always communicating and not being by herself. So it's just like, we're different, and it's okay.
Do you get the sense that because of what people are so used to, there's kind of this, implication or straight out statement of how things should be, and that you're like kind of not fitting normal? Like, does it reach that level of just assumption of how things are, and then you're kind of on the outside of it? Or do people have some sort of like awareness of just differences?
I think it varies on the person. I would say that a lot of people are very much Yeah. The people, I would say this, the people that I find that I have more challenging relationships with are those who are like, with the quote, like, treat others how you want to be treated, right? So it's like based off of what you believe and how you feel, as opposed to looking at, okay, understanding that everybody is different, you know? So it's like the more challenging relationships I have are those who think that, you know, their way is the standard, and that everybody else, whatever everybody else is doing, is not correct. So I just started this book yesterday called Surrounded by Idiots to help with the, like, to communication. So it talks about like four different types of behaviors and all that. And so one of the quotes was like, you can't just base your method of communication on your own preferences. Like, you have to think about how other people might react or respond in different situations, because, you know, if you're thinking that, oh, well, this is how I've grown up and this is how I've done it, and then someone comes in and does something or says something differently than you may, and then it turns into like this whole thing. So that was literally like my last 2021 of difficult conversations. So I think it varies on the person, but I don't have a percentage. But most of the people, I guess, in my circle that I'm around are more open-minded, but then there are a handful of people who are like, no, this is what I think, this is what I feel, and you're not doing it right, or it takes a lot of teaching. And I'm like, I don't want to have to teach adults, you know, how to reframe, you know, the way that they think. It's very annoying.
Yeah, it's like we've been taught this golden rule, right? Treat people how you want to be treated. But it's really kind of having to shift now to this idea of like, treat people how they want to be treated. And I feel like we're moving in that direction. I mean, I hope we're moving in that direction, but it's like a hard shift for people.
Yeah.
Well, and I imagine that it does get easier in a sense when you get to pick your people. I mean, like, you can like love a lot of people for who they are, but not want to spend time with them for various reasons. And that whole, like, you know, the people that you have a greatest challenge with are the ones who are just kind of entrenched as like the way they understand things is the way. And that's, I think that's, those are always the people we are most mm-hmm. challenged by. But I wonder too, like, as you, you know, have gone through life and now there's more flexibility. And as you, I mean, it seems like you've been able to pick your people and pick the ones who know how to treat you the way you want to be treated. I get that impression.
I do get to pick my people, but there are, for lack of a better, I know this is horrible, but like some people, I've picked people, but then there were a lot of boundaries that I put up in 2021 with the more challenging folks. But, and it's like, even when you think that it's all right, you know what, this is it, I don't have the energy to do X, Y, and Z anymore, it's like, okay, you have another conversation, and then they're enlightened again, and then because enlightened from your perspective, and then it's like, okay, we're testing the water, you know what I mean? So that kind of gets it drains a lot of energy. And you hope that the lessons that are learned are maintained and that there is consistency down the line, but you know that something else will probably come up. But yeah, for the most part, I do get to pick the people, and I've gotten pretty good at, I won't say weeding people out, but pretty good at boundary making and kind of just being firm in my expectations or needs or wants or all of that. So
do you find this mostly with family?
No. Well, my mother is probably the one that I've, you know, it's like a constant work in progress. She's learning me. I know who she is, but I'm trying to get her to understand herself and understand others. Like, it was very challenging to like watch her interact. with other family members because I'm like, ooh, probably shouldn't have said that, you know. And we had a gift exchange, and the it's called a pixie. So like the person who is giving the gift goes up and they describe, without saying who it is, they describe their giftee. And one my cousin had, she was like, oh, this person is bossy. You know, she has a hard mouth and she likes to have things her way. And then when my mother thought she was talking about somebody else, and I was like, I know exactly who she's talking about. Her pixies. And when she said who it was, and not she said, everybody was like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. And my mother was like, what? And I was like, well, she was like, I can't. I was like, this. And so it was like, this is great. I don't have to say anything because, you know, you people have this perception of who they are. And, you know, when you try to tell them stuff, it's like, you know, they don't want to hear it. So I'm learning to, with her, it's more like, all right, don't bring stuff up in the moment. Find a different time when things are kind of like less heated or less, you know, heightened, and then kind of express, you know, so you should probably, or it might be, I recommend, or not even I recommend, like, you know, just kind of asking her to like just think about conversations that she's having and how she may be perceived, because those are why people think of you like that, because you have this tendency to just do things this way and it doesn't land well with folks. And then you wonder why they're upset, or you wonder why they have an attitude, or you wonder why, you know, they may not be talking to you as much, you know? So, and I'm just like, you're like 20 years older than me. Like, how is this? Why do I have to do this?
I don't want to claim that those are introvert skills, because I know that those skills are not as introvert, but I just, you know, the whole like, you know, that reflection, the ability to like, I mean, even when you started like, hey, so like, I feel like that energy was just already like, let's bring the energy down. Mm-hmm. Let's connect a little bit. Let's reflect. This might be why.
Yeah.
Like, see, that's like the introvert magic that maybe you're bringing to the situation.
I think like, maybe it's not solely on introverts, but I think anyone who can sit with their own thoughts, you know, and you know, like that, yeah, that's that time where you do reflect. And I think introverts have a lot more of that time because we're naturally like, you know, we tend to be like, oh, okay, I'm overstimulated, I need to take a break. And so I think those reflections come in and you're like, oh, this is, how did this interaction go with this person? And you're like sometimes overthinking it, but you know, but it means the next time you're like, oh, okay, I offended you last time. Like, I'm not gonna like step in that same pothole.
I'm curious because there are so many reasons why we draw boundaries with others, especially with family. I mean, when you think about all the work you've had to do to figure out your own boundaries and to communicate about them and to hold them, do you see a lot of those being related to your kind of different style as more of an introverted person versus a lot of your family style as more extroverted? Or would you say that that's more of a smaller portion of like kind of where the boundary needs come up?
Yeah, most of them are based on communication styles. I think when I think of like some of the boundaries, like I have friends, like I have friends who we may not speak daily, but the bond is still there, right? And it may not be like when we do pop into each other's, you know, messages, there may be no salutation to be like, oh my God, this just happened kind of thing. And it's fine and it flows, right? And just because, you know, if I don't hit you up for a year or 6 months or, you know, whatever the case may be, it doesn't mean that we're not still friends. It doesn't mean that something is wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And so I had or have one of those challenging connections where their level of expectation was very high when it comes to communication. So it's like if there's a consistency with communication, and then it stops for whatever reason, it immediately goes to, oh, something must be wrong, or, you know, it's someone taking it personally, or you're not being consistent with whatever it was, or you didn't do this thing. So it's just like, yeah, okay, this becomes too much, because it's like, if something is wrong, and then after having like certain conversations with this person, it's just like already stating, if there is something that you have done wrong, or if I'm going to communicate that, right? I'm not just, I hate passive aggressive people, and I try to catch myself if I feel like I'm doing that. Not saying that I'm perfect, but it's like, no, I'm going to state it. So it's like, don't be in your head because this pattern has been knocked off. So then it becomes another conversation where, you know, reduce your expectations, right? And remember that like everything is fine unless it's not. And if it's not, you're going to know, that kind of thing. So it's really been based off of communication. And again, it's only been like one or two people that kind of come to mind with that. Actually, maybe three, because I'll add my mother in there. But she's gotten better at understanding that I'm not a talker. Like, you want to talk, you want to call to say hi or to have like these light conversations or blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, but oh, you could have done that in a text message. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, like, I just like conversations with sustenance and all that. So, but yeah, it's mostly communication, and it's really not a lot of people. For the most part, most of the people in my life kind of understand that it's a go with the flow, still got love for you. Nothing has changed. Nothing has been diminished. You know, we're still good kind of vibe.
Did you find that you had to do a lot of communicating around that before so many people would understand that flow? Or do you find that like, actually a lot of people got it pretty naturally, they picked up on it, and it's just sort of been hard for a few to understand?
No, that's just how it's been. This is how those people operate naturally as well. And it's one of those like, oh, hey, thinking of you, how are things, you know, just kind of random, you know, that, yeah, we're still good. But there are a select few, and I learned that it's based off of personal experiences of whatever trauma, you know, people may have been going through, and also like knowing or noticing or learning that they, you know, how someone views me and what value they feel like I bring could be different than what, you know, we may not be aligned in that way. Not to feel like, oh, well, I don't really care about that, you know, but I'm just like a very, they call like Aquarians like detached kind of person. But I don't think that I'm detached. I just feel like, you know, if someone holds you to a certain standard, then they have these higher expectations. But if you're just like, yeah, I care about you, I love you, all that stuff, but I don't have, you know, these expectations or whatever, it's just that type of misalignment. So they expect more from you because they feel a certain way about you and wanting you in their life and wanting the connection and blah, 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 blah. Everybody has all these like different needs. So their needs might be greater than mine, you know? So that's what, again, learning all these things.
What do you feel like it was that like pushed you to the point where you're like, okay, I really need to get on it with the boundaries and with the, and communicating, because it is hard to communicate to someone like, this is how I'm set up and this is what I need, and kind of get that across to people.
It happens because it gets draining. And you notice, you know, the passive aggressiveness that tends to come through, or the change in whatever, or just historically knowing how someone has operated in the past and kind of always being the one to like, okay, let's have a conversation because I'm noticing X, Y, and Z. So it's like, really, my tolerance is low. And especially when I feel like I've put in, or especially when I feel like, you know, so many conversations have been had, and then, but yet the same patterns or, you know, things tend to happen. It's like, all right, like this is only going to go so far. So it's like always having to address it. Because it's like, if it continues, like we're going to have to, you know, alter our interactions for you know, a longer period of time, or kind of downgrade what the relationship is or what it looks like, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just really just not being with, you know, with the shits. So I'm like, I'm tired.
I don't think ever, I mean, just now might be the first time I've really kind of wondered how much there's intersection between like introversion, extroversion, communication and energy needs and styles and like attachment stuff, you know, because like there's a lot in there, right? Like kind of in terms of what overwhelms us, what we need, people being able to attune to our needs and meet them and match them and communicate and have that kind of bond, right? That feels good to both. And it's kind of the sense of secure bond. And there's for a lot of reasons, people have trouble having that sense of secure bond, and like the communication can be really difficult. And I wonder how often, you know, that introvert, extrovert spectrum gets in the mix of attachment.
Mm-hmm. Challenges. Yeah, I've never thought about that.
Because it sounds like that's kind of maybe what you're describing. It sounds like a lot of the boundary stuff is more around like people wanting to make sure that they've got that connection with you, and they're worried that they don't, or trying to interpret things or trying to communicate things. And then a lot of it's like, no, this is me as an extrovert. This isn't me as, you know, like, or sorry, introvert. Mm-hmm. This isn't me trying to give you some message that, you know, I'm mad at you or where.
Right.
So that's, it sounds like you're maybe experiencing some of those intersections there, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I know we touched on this a little bit, but, so this experience in your family, how does that compare with what it's like being an introvert in the world outside your family?
So before getting to like this level of self-awareness, I really feel like if I look back on past experiences in my career, I feel like my introverted nature has kind of held me back from professional milestones, or like they've made superiors kind of question like my ability to be successful in certain positions, right? Which ironically I found it to be ironic, coming from people who were, number one, not well liked, two, they presented as being phony, not just to me but to a lot of people, right? And then they were the type to kind of just force relationships. So, you know, I just look back on the first school that I worked at, and I was supposed to leave because I was going to move to Turks, and then I decided not to move. And then, so it was just a whole thing where, you know, there were positions that were kind of opening up, but for some reason that vice principal, like after I had already left, I found out like what his thoughts were. And I'm just like, you know, telling me that, well, for this role, we needed such and such and such. And I'm just like, but that's me. You know, like I had gone through so many positions in the school, and I felt like I was like, well, there's nothing else that I want to do here. And so it's like, I've outgrown it. And I've not to like pat myself on the back, but I'm just like, everybody loved me, you know? Like, so it's like for you to say that I wasn't personable or that I wasn't, that I didn't do X. I'm just like, yeah, no, that's not true. So I am this thing that you've outlined in this job description, but because of how you were, right? And because of what their personality was like, you're basing the fact that I don't like small talk. So if I go into an elevator with you and you ask me how my weekend was and I say, oh, it's fine, right? But but you want to elaborate on, even though nobody asked, right? You want to elaborate on, oh, well, I did this, and you're thinking that your way is great and your response is what the normal response should be, and my response is not okay. So because I'm not into those types of conversations, especially again, if I feel that your energy is not authentic, like, do you really care about what happened, you know, in my weekend, right? Or you see that, my interactions with other people are different than yours, and then you take that personally. So I do feel like there's a lot of that in the professional world. And then I think as a, the other side of like outside of my family, like as a content creator and like a carnival personality, there's like a misconception that I am an extrovert. But it's like the furthest thing from the truth. And so like a lot of my opinions or a lot of my methods for going about things in like the carnival circle are very different than others, right? So like I take breaks when I need to from my brand. You know, I refuse to force content just to stay relevant or gain followers. And I just like, I'm just like, I just believe in organic growth. And if you can't understand or respect or, you know, vibe with the way that I go about promoting my brand or using my brand or, you know, whatever, then, you know, it's okay to unfollow. But for the most part, people, if you're there, you know what you're getting into, and you understand it. And I try to be very, like in my IG stories, like, I just try to be very like, this is what's happening. I'm taking a break. I'm taking a sabbatical, because X, Y, and Z, I'll be back when I'm back. Hopefully you'll be here, you know, when that time comes. If not, it's totally okay, you know. But I see folks who are just, in my opinion, y'all are doing the absolute most right now. And is it authentic? Is it necessary? You know, what's the purpose? You know, but I don't know what other people's goals are. So it's like, you know, if you have a different plan, or if this is your full-time thing, then I get it. But for folks who have real lives, you know, like I have a 9-to-5 and all this other stuff going on. So it's like, yeah, no, social media is not my main priority. It's just something that I do, you know, for fun and to educate people on the stuff that I enjoy, like carnival. So it's a weird space sometimes.
I'm hearing like this, those misconceptions, one that people can have at work. And I think, you know, I think you do, you lose good people that way, right? You know, when you kind of can't get out of your own way as someone in a senior position and say, okay, what skills does this person have, rather than what is the interaction like with that person? And it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Because if I'm doing my job and I'm exceeding and I'm, you know what I mean, then what are you complaining about, right? But I can understand if I was however this person perceived me and I was getting absolutely nothing done and there was zero productivity and there was a whole bunch of complaints and all, then I could understand that. But that's the furthest thing from what was happening, you know? So it's just like, it's very annoying. But funny, ironically, that person ended up getting fired like 2 years later.
Well, it,
I was like, yeah.
It's interesting because it sort of gives me this impression of kind of maybe a person who kind of stereotypically, I guess, sort of has this idea of how the world should work. Like,
yeah,
it's competitive. You have to, you know, put on that show. I don't even know if I have the words to describe it, but like, the way you describe this person, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that kind of like personality, almost like a car sales, mm-hmm. you know, stereotype. And like being judged against that, as opposed to being appreciated for how you do things mm-hmm. and what you're bringing to the table. Like, it just seemed, you know, kind of being judged based on how this person thinks the world should be, thinks what success looks like based on how they've.
Right.
Learned how to navigate the world, believe that they should, and maybe they weren't as successful with you. Like, maybe if they've learned that like small talk is the way to, you know, like kind of, and I don't want to judge this person. I don't know, make up all these things about them, but, you know, you've mentioned how some people can take things personally, and it almost seemed like in that, like, you know, opening interaction of like, how was your weekend? Oh, fine. Like, I wonder how much there's that, like, this isn't working. Why are you,
yeah.
you know, like, why aren't my tactics like having the outcome that I'm used to with this mm-hmm. person, and then kind of choosing to judge you for it almost in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the image I got. Who knows if that was, but I don't know if that's how it felt.
It did, absolutely. Always feels like that.
It's also like, where did that expectation come from of like, I'm asking a very simple question and now I want you to tell me about like your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that I've heard you say a couple of times, like your is around like authenticity. Like you notice that this person seemed to come across as very fake, and you've talked about how organic growth and being authentic in your brand is important to you, and that you're not trying to put on a show. So it sounds like part of your journey too is like how important the sense of authenticity is for you in all these spaces, and how there's maybe this friction that you can experience from some around what authentic is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I think about like that same challenging connection that I have, I think about like, or even when someone just says, oh, how are you? Right. Similar to how was your weekend? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. You know, or like my partner is kind of like I know that he's genuine in what in how he means it, but he's learned to kind of change the way that he phrases questions to me, because like I tend to be very literal, right? Or I tend to just get to the point with certain things. So it's like, if you ask me a question a certain way, then you'll get a different answer, right? And so some people haven't caught on to that, or, you know, we'll have like a conversation about how we hate superficial or people not being superficial. So it's just like, if you have this friendship where, again, where the levels of expectation are different and there may not be interaction for a while, but you come back and you're like, you know, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay. Meanwhile, there are a lot of other things going on in my life, but if you're not asking specifically for me to talk about those things, then I'm not going to bring it up. But then, you know, we have like a deep conversation where all that stuff comes out. And it's like, well, when I'm asking you, how are you? Like, I'm not just looking for an okay. I'm looking for, these are all the other things. But I'm just like, yeah, but that's not the question that I've, you know, so it becomes this thing, you know? So it's all very, very interesting. So I just feel like if you're looking for, like, I like to ask people like, okay, yeah, how are you? But like, you know, what's going on? What's your energy? What's new and different? You know, how, if you know that something was happening, then you talk specifically to what thing happened in their life, you know, how's work, or, you know, how's your, like those, you know, those are the things I'm looking for. But if you're going to ask me like, oh, how are you? I'm good. You know, I am good. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And I also don't want to be come across as oversharing when that may not be what you were looking for. So it's like, I'm not just going to, my partner calls it, I'm not a broadcaster, right? Like, I'm not just going to spill out all of this information or all of this stuff on you if that's not, you know, because I don't, like, sometimes people just, and I've been this, like, people just blurt stuff out and I'm just like, I wasn't ready for this conversation. You know what I mean? So, and I didn't know that this is where we were going. And it's, and also maybe something that's taxing or draining, you know? So it's just like, yeah, you allow, like, read the room, you know, it's kind of like read the room, read the conversation and go from there. But yeah, I like to protect my time and people's time. And so it's like, if I feel like, or if the stuff that you're asking me and it feels like you're open to conversation or you're open to hearing certain things about what's going on, then I'm going to share that based off of what you asked, but I'm not just going to offer up all of these things because you may not be in a space to receive. And I have friendships like that too, where it's like, all right, every time we talk about, someone says something about, you know, losing weight or all the things that, or they come and they ask you stuff, and it's just like, yeah, this conversation I'm not doing, because every time that we go there, you start complaining about the same thing, yet you haven't, we offer you advice, but you have not done anything about it, or you come, so it's just like, I just go quiet and I let everybody else offer their two cents, but I'm like, I'm not doing this with you. because you haven't, you have, like, I feel like you haven't shown me that my words were valuable. So it's just like, I'm not going to offer up anything else right now until, like, I see, oh, she's doing this thing. Okay, cool. Then I can add my two cents, but I'm just like, you're not going to do anything with it, you know, and you're grown and you know what to do. You know what not to do. And you haven't done any of those things. So I'm just going to be back here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like that idea of like, I love you and I'm not going to kind of give energy unnecessarily because I'm going to observe the fact, like what your behaviors are, and your behaviors tell me that you're not ready to receive
right
this. And so, okay, I will wait until the moment until you're ready to receive it. And then I've got plenty of things to say. Mm-hmm. But also this idea of like, if you ask me a surface question, you're going to get a surface answer. Yes. But if you dig a little deeper, then I know that you're looking for more and I'm willing to give more.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like having an invitation is kind of important. I feel like I've noticed people and I've had conversations with people, notice the dynamics when they seem to be very used to sharing things, you know, just like in a conversation, very comfortable, just adding things and adding things and adding things. Whereas I've noticed that often in those spaces, if someone's just kind of sharing things, I'll just get quiet because I haven't been invited. Like I haven't been invited to, contribute. And there are times when it's clear that they don't need an invitation. They don't feel like they need one. They feel like even just talking is an invitation to share whatever you want to share. And I've noticed there's a difference with me and maybe with some others of like, some of us need, and want a clear invitation for it to feel worth it, for our words to feel valued.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have those conversations where, or at least I've had those conversations where, you know, someone is venting and you're just there to listen, right? And I need the words, what do you think? Or can you offer advice? Or otherwise, if I don't hear that, I'm not saying anything. And so there are moments where it's like, well, people feel like maybe you're not supporting them because you haven't offered advice. And it's just like, yeah, no, that's gone wrong for me. Actually, it hasn't, but I know people where it's gone wrong for folks to offer up stuff where they haven't been asked. So it's just like, yeah, no, unless you specifically ask for my thoughts or my opinions, I'm just going to be there. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Oh, wow, she said that. Oh, okay, didn't know that, you know, things like that. But I'm not going to say, well, you should do this, or I think that, you know, I'm not going to do that. But then there are people, maybe it's because I also hate when people do that. Cause it's like, I'm just venting, or you could just be living your life and someone will say, oh, you should do, like, see, my mother did this the other day to my aunt. She's like, you should. And I'm like, those two words are not, that's not starting off right. It's like, you know, have you ever thought about doing this? I'm like, how about, you know, saying stuff that way, as opposed, because when you tell people that they should do something, you know what I mean? It just comes off like, it's just wrong in my opinion. But yeah, it's different. Like just learning just communication overall is just like a thing that we all have to like get together. But people, no matter how old you are just, everybody's at a different level and everybody has different expectations and ways about going through things.
So we talked a little bit about this already, right? As a self-proclaimed carnival junkie, you spoke a little bit about how your introversion shows up and kind of really setting those boundaries and make sure you're taking those breaks. But how else do you feel like your introversion shows up kind of in and around carnival?
So the thing that, you know, people, oh, you're quiet, but you love carnival. I'm like, yeah, I do. And it doesn't mean that people who, you know, just because I'm an introvert or just because I'm on the quieter side, it doesn't mean that I don't like to enjoy things that tend to be kind of rambunctious, you know, but it's not like I'm doing it every single day, you know? So like some of the things that, or some of the ways that my introversion shows up is like when we go to parties and fets, right? So it's like, I like to go early because like if it starts at 7 a.m, I want to be there by like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Cause I want to be there to enjoy whatever setup scenery they have, take my pictures before the crowd gets there. If it's like an all-inclusive, I want to be able to get the food, right? Like we in carnival culture, maybe in general, like a lot of people like to be fashionably late, you know? I just feel like if I've spent $100+ on this event, I want to get all my coins worth. But I also want to have like moments of peace because I know that once, you know, the 4 hour or 5 hour mark hits and this party has already started, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be crowded. I don't want to, you know, be squeezed up, you know, around people. And I actually like to leave early. I like to leave before it lets out because it's going to be a hassle to find parking. It's just a lot. Like I want to avoid as much human interaction as possible that I, you know, like the vibes that I don't want. And I tend to, similar to, I guess it's still related to authenticity. Like I go to things for the experience. Like I don't go to things just because they're popular or because it's like, you know, there's a hype around. And I'm just like, no, I'm going because I genuinely like what this event is and what these promoters have to offer, et cetera, et cetera. But if I feel like, oh, I'm just going because other people are going or because I'm not doing that. So a lot of people are always shocked if I'm like talking trash, not even talking trash, but I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going that. It's not worth, you know, they're like, why not? It's going to be like, I don't care who's going to be y'all. I just saw you last week, you know, at this event, you know, like it's not going to do anything. It's not going to bring value to my life by going to that thing. And another thing that I'd say I do is like, I love, like I'm always quick to hop on inaugural events because again, they will have a smaller crowd and they will require less energy and people, like I know that I can have, like I can make my own fun. You know what I mean? Like I think that there is, like I can appreciate something for what it is without having a ton of people there. Like there were a number of events that happen and people don't go because, well, they don't know. Number one, they don't know who's going to be there. Number two, they may have never experienced it or they're fearful of investing in whatever it is. So like the Uber Soca cruise, the first one, like nobody wanted to go on it because it was just like, what? A cruise? I don't trust that. Something's going to go wrong, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, okay, fine. But it was the best thing ever. And I feel like the first one was the best one. And then it became just super popular. And then the promoters were kind of just doing the most. And then it went from one boat to two boats. And now it's no longer a thing. So it's just like, yeah, no, I want to go and enjoy the peacefulness of this thing for what it is and really get down to how valuable the experience was, not just going because, oh, now it's a popular thing. Like, no, if it's overly popular, then I'm going to go in the other direction. Mm-hmm. Similar also Soca Ski Fest, like the first year that came out, I didn't go because I was in grad school, but I know that everyone raves about that. But you have people who are like, nope, I'm not going because I don't know about it, or you know, I'm afraid to, for whatever reasons, they just are not. You know, some people just don't do change, or they have to wait and see. Oh, I want to wait 3 years before I go, you know? And I'm just like, no, I'm going to go now. Because by the time you make up your mind, I'll be done and I've moved on to something else.
I love the idea of just like finding those new things, because it's almost like people are putting in a lot more energy because they want to get to that point of everybody wants to come to their event.
Mm-hmm.
And so it probably is like so much more fun at that point because they're throwing everything they've got at it, and they want to make it worth it, and they want people leaving and talking about it so that the next year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I love the idea of like coming in early and and then leaving early, like, and it's not just the actual parties, but also like I'm gonna come in on this event early. I'm gonna do this maybe year one, year two, and then by year three, I'm like, okay, on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing that happened with Jamaica Carnival, like the first year that I went in 2016, and it was amazing. And then 2017 was nice too, but then 2018, I was just like, where did all these people come from? And just like sometimes you feel like the promoters are now being greedy because they're, you know, expanding to the point of like, it's fine if you expand and the quality remains there, but if you expand and you can't keep up with your own, you know, if you can't keep up with like the value of what we're expecting, especially if we've been committed to you for so many years, it's just like, okay, I'm not coming to this anymore, because you're not thinking about me as a patron. You're thinking about, okay, how can this brand benefit, you know, over, you know, what the customer experience is going to be. So that's, you know, it's frustrating to watch, but then you're just like, well, this is why I came before. So now I know what it could be, and I have these great experiences, and now I know better, and I'll move on to something else while everybody continues to flock to this thing.
To hear you describe it, it almost sounds like, you know, what you connect with maybe is like more of that depth of spirit of what Carnival is for you, and why you love it and what you're connected to about it, which it sounds like is not the purely social, everyone gets together and is super hyped about things. It sounds like that's not the draw for you. There's a deeper spirit to it. And it sounds like whenever that gets diluted, whenever it goes more superficial, when more people come in and it's more about being where everybody is, that's when it loses it for you.
Yep. It's when it's about, oh, you know, this is, I'm just here to show that I was here at this, you know, popular thing, but I'm not, you know, really here to engage. I'm going to stand on the side and I'm not going to dance. And I'm just like, why are you here though? Like, you know, but, like going because it's truly, you know, that's kind of some, like, sometimes when we talk a lot about, or on the scene, we talk a lot about, people who are not of Caribbean descent who come to Carnival, and it's like, yeah, it's great, you know, like some people come with the right idea and the right mind frame and with an appreciation of what it is, but some people come with like, oh, I'm just going because all these girls look great in these costumes where they're barely, you know, wearing anything, and I'm going to try to hook up, you know, with people. So it's like, you know, that's the vibe that we don't want. But if you're coming from outside of a Caribbean background with appreciation for what Carnival is and what the history of it means to us, then great. But if you're coming with this thing, that's the vibe that we don't want. So
it sounds very like, has the feeling to me of the meaningful deep conversations, and then you get to the small talk.
It's like, yes. That's a good one.
Well, I don't want to rush us into the last question, but I can throw it out there if we're ready for it.
Sure.
So what is one thing you wish society understood about introverts?
So I did a post, I don't know, maybe over 6 months ago or something like that about introverts or whatever. But I wrote that, you know, people like need to understand that being an introvert is not a negative characteristic. You know, many people tend to use the word interchangeably with like shyness or, you know, whatever. However, I think that being reserved doesn't, like, it doesn't make me, you know, and I'm using words that I've been called before. Like, it doesn't make me a bitch, right? Like, it doesn't make me mean. It doesn't make me stuck up. It doesn't mean that I'm shy, right? It's just, there are people who just don't understand what being on the quieter side tends to mean, right? And it takes time to understand a person, right? So it wasn't until, like, you know, I remember in college, I was super, again, new environment, you know, new people, new everything, there by myself. I'm not going to just throw myself out there and just kind of, you know, talk or whatever. Like, I have to be comfortable in my setting and around certain people before I kind of allow you to see or understand who I am. And it was like maybe junior year or sophomore year or something, and I'm having a conversation with a guy and he's like, you know, freshman, yeah, he was like, I thought you were a bitch, but you're cool. And I'm like, you know, I'm just like, yeah, because I'm quiet. You know what I mean? Like, just because I'm not saying anything or I may not be engaged, it doesn't mean that, like, I'm being stuck up or I think that I'm better. And I'm just like, I'm here enjoying the moment. I'm reading the room. I'm observing. I'm learning, you know, how people are and how they communicate, how they engage. Like, I'm just here. It doesn't mean that, like, there's something wrong with me because I'm not participating, you know? So it's just like, it's not a negative thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, if I'm not, like, cussing you out or literally being mean to you or saying things to you, like, why are you acting as though I'm mean? You know what I mean? Or because I might be upfront, or, you know, I'm not gonna, like, I know a lot of people in college that were just doing things or saying things just to say them, but it's just like, no. You know, like, if I give you a no, you know, you take that personally for whatever reason. And, you know, someone else, you might ask the same thing, or, and someone else might be more of a yes person, even though they really may not want to do it. Right. And that comes across as, oh, she's more personable because you didn't reject me or whatever the case may be. So I'm just like, being an introvert, being quiet is not a negative thing, right? And people don't think about, like, have you ever, someone wrote in a comment, like, have you ever thought about, like, maybe being an extrovert is too much? Like, if you're, you know, have you ever thought about how your personality might, you know, be like, well, why don't you, you know, have a seat, or why don't you, you know, calm down, take things down a notch? You know, why is that not perceived as being negative? Mm-hmm. Right, for a lot of people.
Yeah. Why is that not called for being out of balance somehow? Mm-hmm. Why is the balance always seemingly so skewed? It's interesting. It almost seems like small talk, or, like, maybe all these, like, nonverbal things that people can feel comfortable doing socially and feel really, like, energized by, can be ways to, like, signal to other people that, like, I'm open, I've not got anything to hide, I'm bringing you in, like, everything's just, like, comfortable and safe. And then, like, if you don't send those signals, if that's not where your energy flows, you know, if you're processing something that is harder to see, mm-hmm. then people's brains are constantly filling in the unknown with like negative or somehow like rejection or something like that. And I wonder how often, like, introverts take that brunt of just being, for the moment, the less known. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you know, all the stuff that gets projected into the unknown, that's usually threatening.
Yeah. I think about being at more, like, certain events or more, like, social events, not like promoted events, but just like something minor, like we call it, like, a lime. So if I go somewhere that I'm not really familiar with, say I might be going with my partner or something, and, you know, for the whole time they might be playing hip hop or they might be playing just music that I'm just, like, chill to, and people, I can see that, or sense that people are like, oh, she's quiet or she's whatever. But it's like, okay, put on soca music or dance hall. I'm like, oh, this is my time to get up. And they go and everybody's like, wait, who, you know, it's like I changed into this other person. But it's like, no, it's just similar to being comfortable before kind of allowing yourself or myself to kind of fully immerse in something. So it's just like, oh, no, this is my thing. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I know. This is what brings me joy. So now I'm going to get up and I might act wild for like a couple of seconds, but I'm going to come back as soon as they, you know, change the genre of music, you know what I mean? Or the vibe changes, whatever, and I'm going to come back. But still be reserved. And everybody's like, I don't understand you.
Now I don't know how to categorize you.
Like hip hop is the small talk and
yeah, exactly.
Soca is the deep conversation.
Yeah. That would be exciting if we could see that balance shift so that, you know, like the quieter wasn't this, you know, all these assumptions flowing in, that if there were this openness of being like, let's give space to find out who this person is.
Yeah. I think balance is a word, like that's a word my partner uses a lot. It's just like, yeah, you don't have to be like, I feel like I'm in the middle, you know, but you have a lot of extroverts who are always like here, always high energy, never always, not always, but usually being uncomfortable in the quiet spot. And then you have those who, you may have introverts who are just like always on that high introvert sign. But I feel like I shift, right? It's like it's not a constant. I mean, usually I'm in that space, but there are moments where I kind of come. So I just feel like, yeah, balance is key. But a lot of people haven't learned that yet, or maybe they may not even want to learn that, but they don't, you know, recognize that about themselves
or other people. Like, just like there's ways to get to that deeper part of somebody and get to know them and see other parts of them. Mm-hmm. But if you keep coming at it from your one perspective, treating them how you want to be treated, mm-hmm. you only get to see this part where you can't connect to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Context matters. And our influence over it.
True.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. It's great to have this conversation and to meet you. I think some of my takeaways, like in terms of just reflecting on this introvert and extrovert experience, I think some things I'll be thinking about are, you know, how does that variety play into just attachments, relationships, mm-hmm. and communication, but also that, like, that need for boundary work. It's so interesting, like we all have these different personalities and our temperaments can come from different places, and not all of it can come down to like introvert extrovert, but it is very interesting, you know, kind of that conservation of energy too was the other thing, you know, that authenticity, that I'm not going extra, I'm not going to just kind of throw things out. Like I'm going to be careful about what energy I give that matters to me. I'm going to focus on value and meaning. You know, I feel like that plays a lot into people's experience. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I heard a lot from you.
I appreciate as another appreciator of Carnival. like just that you're able to put words to kind of the introvert experience of that, and like really, you know, it's not something people kind of can look at it on the outside and assume it's an extroverted activity, but that introverts can be anywhere and everywhere, and that we can find our own way in something, even if it is something that looks very big and loud and extroverted.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was good. Yeah. I think it also helps to just talk about things as well, because you end up learning about yourself. Like years ago, like I wouldn't have been able to kind of articulate some of these things or even know like where to begin with anything. But I think because of difficult conversations and just, you know, learning, being around people that are not like-minded, and it forces me to think, right? And then because they don't understand, oftentimes they don't understand, or they're trying to understand who you are, you have to figure out the ways of, okay, how do I communicate this thing to this person so that we can be, you know, on better footing, I can understand them, they can understand me, kind of thing. So talking about who we are tends to be helpful. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks for listening to On the Inside.
Before we go, show some love for your favorite introvert podcast by following us and leaving us a comment on Facebook or Instagram, which you can find through the link in our show notes.
And remember that even when the world doesn't seem made for you, you were made for the world.